Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 38. Get the most from your GPS device. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. Not just the pros, because we all want to know where we are.
Oh, that ties in with GPS. Something you know a lot about. And in your other life, the minor side of your life, you know all about that stuff, don't you?
It's all about maps and knowing where things are. And we like to know where we are.
Well, if I can just remind people, those have been in the squad for a while, we did a certain workout a couple of years ago where I'd plotted a bunch of points on a map, and it was you got collected certain points for getting to each one up the hill. How did you game that, Doug?
I didn't game it. I made the most of the resources at my disposal and got someone much younger and much more clever than me to actually put them into a piece of software and figure out the quickest way to go to every single point. So it was about getting every single point. There were super fit people like Spice and Kelly who just ran between a couple of high points.
Yeah.
But the running was a little bit harder than the one that I'd done. But hey, it was that actually made for good fun.
That was genius use of technology.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here today.
And beautiful segue. Yeah, technology. There's a lot of it. Yeah. And we're going to have a bit of a yarn about it. But before we crack on, you are Gerard.
I am. And you are Doug.
Yes.
There we go. Intro's done. Everyone knows.
Done. Yeah, we won't bore people with who does what.
We'll tell more stories next time.
Yeah, we just know that you're the expert. So before we jump into that, talk about technology, a bit been going on with the team. I won't pretend that we record these every single week.
No.
We do a little bit of if two at a time is a bulk recording session, then so be it. But so Winterman happened.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. It was an annual event here in Wellington organised by the Tri Club. And it's, when I say event, it's nothing more than rock up and come do this this big training day in the middle of winter, when no one is fit, and just have a laugh with it. And it was great fun. We had you there this year?
I was there, yep. It's half Ironman distance, but yeah, Mixed up to make it a little bit interesting.
So Matt took the inspiration from Super League Triathlon, the way they kind of divvied things up and did it backwards and differently, and came up with this great idea.
Yeah, so we met at Freiburg and cycled 45K out to Rumataka. Just a little 20K trail run to loosen the legs for the ride back to town. And those that were very excited, which I wasn't one of, then jumped in the pool for a cramp session, otherwise known as a 2K swim.
That's always the hilarious bit. Yeah.
No, a lot of fun and, sort of riding as a group and running with a few people because it wasn't a race.
Yeah.
Just a nice way to get out there. And although called Winterman, the weather played ball.
It did, yeah.
Until about 20 minutes after the last participant had finished, when it turned to custard.
It was just perfect timing.
Which is okay when you can look at that out a window whilst having a beer or a coffee and a bit of food.
If we were in it, it wouldn't have been so much fun.
Yeah. So good fun. About 30-odd people, so I think one of the bigger turnouts.
Yeah. And I think one of the great things was we had a number of the squad doing it, a lot more than we have done in the past. And just the discussions afterwards, the reminder of what you're actually capable of. Because no one is half Ironman fit. And so no one is race fit for the distance. But no one's been riding that far and running that far in recent weeks. So just to be able to put that together and pull it out on the day, just for fun, it's a really good reminder that we've all got so much more inside of us than we probably think at any point in time.
Yeah. And a big thanks to Jan.
Mm.
This is a test, Jan, to whether you listen to the podcast. But but Jan didn't participate, but she took all manner of gear up to Rumataka, so we had our running gear to change into, and then she had our bike stuff ready as we returned from the run. So, fantastic job.
Yep, absolutely. We couldn't do it without you, Jan. Thank you.
Yep. So that was, if you can call a half Ironman fun. moving on to slightly less fun things.
Fun in different ways.
Oh, he's a sick man. We did a training zone test. We did a training zone bike test on Saturday. Talk us through it, Gerard, because I couldn't breathe at the time.
So we talked about this in the previous episode, actually, embracing your time trials, which was just the perfect lead-in. And the great thing was, I think a few people must have listened because we got a really good turnout. Normally, if I say any kind of test, the room's going to be half empty. But we got people there, and they came along ready to give it a good grunt.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty decent warm-up, and then it was basically 8 minutes as hard as you can go. And from there, we can calculate heart rate and power training zones.
Yeah. And as we said when we talked about embracing your time trials, they're not always a lot of fun, but knowing doing something like that on a regular basis, and I don't know, 6-8 weeks, how long between that sort of test?
Yeah, so it'll be 6 to 8 weeks, and then we'll do a bike test every 6 to 8, and in between times run one.
Yeah, unlike a GPS device that tells you where you're at on the globe, this test really tells you where you're at from a fitness perspective.
Yeah,
and you can set training that is specific to your current level of fitness, and getting those training zones. And it's really, again, beating the same old drum, it's so important to be doing training that is appropriate for you.
Yeah, that's for sure. We must put the qualifier around it. If you are focused on improving your performance, if you're just out there for fun, keep it fun. Yeah.
I think by the look on everyone's faces, they were out there to improve their performance, because there wasn't a lot of smiling going on.
No, there wasn't. And it's, these things are tough. They are, because it's all about finding your limits of how hard you can go for whatever period of time. So there's a real learning curve in it, and it hurts, but I think the satisfaction at the end of it is like, yep, I did that and I've got something meaningful from it is really good.
Yeah, superb. So we're talking GPSs. We battled hard for 8 minutes and through the bike test.
Yep.
And went nowhere. The GPS wouldn't have moved, Gerard. Same spot, eight minutes later. That's disappointing.
The joy of indoors. But at least you knew that.
Yeah. Now, you say GPS device.
Yeah.
What do you mean by it, just to the in layman's terms?
So most commonly, we're talking watches and bike computers, Garmins. They're the ones that, the most popular brand in the squad. I assume so in New Zealand as well. It's just what most people have, so what most others get.
Yeah.
So, particularly, the watches, the bike computers, but there are also apps on your phone. There's Map My Run and various other, many other apps which collect this data and can tell you or show you as you're running along and afterward as well for analysis.
Yeah.
So it's those kind of things.
And we've talked about power meters. These devices, the same device can show you your power.
Yes.
But we're not so much about power for this conversation.
Yeah.
It's more about
the other stuff.
Yeah. So beyond power, what's the reason, or what sort of data are you going to want to see and look at and review?
So the big thing is that you have one of these devices to help you get a bit more specific about your training, and really when you think about it, that's about learning about yourself and how to train. Okay, they're not meant to be the thing that you absolutely religiously monitor every moment that you're out there. They are, take look at them at points in time, look at some of your data afterwards and learn from it so that you can actually just do the training without having to look at it in the future. That's the ultimate.
And if it's not uploaded to some site like Strava or Garmin Connect, it never happened.
Never happened, no. Yeah. No.
So sort of starting with the basics, what do you do? As a bloke, clearly I don't read the manual. I just start playing with it.
There we go. Read the manual. Yes, that's absolutely. And so what we're talking about here are more particularly the watches and the bike computers.
Yeah.
Because so many people in the squad have a Garmin, thinking about what you can do with those.
Okay.
When you buy it, comes out of the box with a small piece of paper that says, this is how you get started. But there is a huge manual that goes with it. So it's totally worth actually downloading that and having a read. You don't have to understand it all, but it gives you an appreciation of what this device can do.
Yeah.
Because there is so much more than most people know.
Yep. And, when you're setting it up from scratch, what are the sort of things, the real basics to keep an eye on?
So it comes out with a default set of screens and data fields on those. And we'll talk a bit more specifically about which ones I think are important soon. But a couple of key things to do. Think about your vision and eyesight, okay? So if you need to change the layout of what's on a screen, make certain numbers bigger, go for it. You can do that. That's what these devices allow you to do. If the screen brightness is a bit dim for you, crank up the screen brightness, because you've spent the money on this thing. You want to be able to bloody see it as you're training.
Yep.
So yeah, that's just absolute basic. Have a play with that screen brightness and layout so that you can actually use it.
Yep. And I remember you saying in the past about turning off the lap button.
Yeah.
Now, I know if you upload a run, for example, I think it defaults to 1 kilometer, so it shows your time for every kilometer.
Yeah.
But I know some of your training, you like us to use the lap button manually.
Yeah, that's right.
When we're doing repeats, so turning that off is a good thing.
Yeah. So they, like you said, they come set up by default. Every 1 kilometer, it will put a marker into the workout file, and you can look at that afterwards and say, kilometer number one, I ran at this pace. Number two, at this pace, and so on. That is interesting when you are doing a time trial or trying to be consistent over a certain distance, but that's only a small part of our training. We're often running over hilly terrain, particularly here in Wellington, so what pace you did for kilometre one versus three is completely irrelevant over hills.
Yep.
And you're going to be using this device to do interval workouts at different times. So you might have a workout where you do 3 minutes fast, 3 minutes easy. And what you can do is this magic lap button, you press the button at the start when you start your 3 minutes fast, and it's got like a, think of it like a secondary time counter.
Yep.
Your workout is still running and collecting all the data, but this just resets the mini stopwatch to zero so that you can just have a look at that and go, oh, yep, I've been running for 2 minutes 54. I'm just about finished.
Yep.
Versus trying to do the maths of, well, I started running at 15 minutes and 10 seconds into this one, so what's 3 minutes after that?
Yeah.
When you're running hard, the brain just goes out the window. Yeah. So this lap button, it's really, really useful, but it's really underutilized.
Yeah. And then we may talk about it a bit later, but you then are able to analyze if for those 3 minutes you're supposed to be at lower hard.
Yes.
You know that, and that zone might be 4 minute kilometers.
Yep.
You can look back and go, I was at 4:15. I was probably a bit off the, I need to think about that. So,
yeah.
Okay, I can understand that.
Well, the one thing, I've never yet found a good video on YouTube of how to use the lap button and what it all means. Should probably create one, but normally someone else has done it, but this is the one thing that there doesn't seem to exist. If anyone knows of a good illustration, example, description, whatever it is to share, please let us know, because I'd love to share it out there.
Yeah,
because my simple description here is pretty simple.
Without pictures,
yeah.
It's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
but with our mugs, we decided to go without pictures. So yeah, heart rate. Now you can connect to a chest-based
yep.
heart rate strap. Does it work with? Mind you, you'd be double watching or something. Do some of the watches come with a wrist-based?
Yeah. So a lot of just about all the new ones, they come with heart rate monitor built into the wrist, and it's a different kind of way of measuring it. They use optics instead of, I don't know, what do you call the thing that goes around your chest strap? It measures it differently.
So supposedly
these things are good, and they can be, but I just don't see enough good data with them, because it needs to be appropriately tight on your wrist, not sitting in the wrong place, not having sweat or sunscreen in it. So you kind of throw in all those variables and the data's just not good enough most of the time.
Yep.
So if you want to use heart rate, get either a chest strap, or you can go and buy, there are other optical devices, there are things that go on your somewhere else, upper part of your arm, all these different things. Chest strap's just the more common,
pretty sure the
one.
Chest strap is the most accurate, because it's a bit like an ECG. It measures the electrical,
that's
sort
it.
Of the little spark plug that goes every time your heart beats, so certainly going to be far more accurate.
So yeah, if you want to use heart rate, get a chest strap to be as sure of it as you can.
As I said earlier, if it's not downloaded somewhere, it never happened.
Yeah.
So most of the watches, and including Garmin, you can upload to Garmin Connect.
Yep, that's right.
I'm going to make a wild assumption that just about any watch you get these days is going to have some ability to upload to a site.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And the reason for that is so you can look at the data afterwards. You don't have to go getting super detailed and analytical after every workout. But when you have certain sessions, you might look at a long run and look at how your pace tracked over that run.
Mm.
It might be an interval session. Well, were during the fast segments, was I consistent every single one of those? You learn a lot by looking at the data afterwards. It's not just about the pace you're seeing at the time as you're running. It's looking back over the whole workout in context.
Yeah. And with all things technological, it's not always perfect.
Mm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Same with this technology. You're bearing in mind from a GPS perspective, you know, your watch is connecting to a couple of satellites which are not that near.
Yeah.
I suppose you just allow for the odd glitch.
Yeah, you see the odd time when we're running around Oriental Bay and it shows someone has run into the water and back. and you just know it's wrong. So yeah, there will be the odd glitch, but you can so you just discount those. It's the overall picture that you're seeing.
Yeah. And if you're using it to train by heart rate, and we've talked about this before, you know, unlike on a bike, if you've got a power meter, you've got an instant measure of what you're producing.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you get to a, you know, 5 minutes easy, and then it's a 3 minute effort at lower hard, even if you know your heart rate, it does take a while for the heart rate to react.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So that's where having another metric such as pace for running or power for cycling, and power is again coming out more and more for running as well. That's going to be the next thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, having more of that, those other metrics, so you've got instant. Now, but look, you made a good point about heart rate, that it takes a while to catch up and show the work that you're doing. However, pace is not perfect either, because that is affected by wind and hills.
Yeah.
So you've just got to, again, like we talked about earlier, learn from all of these things, take all these bits of information and learn what's right for you.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned power's coming for running, but again, on the bike, you kind of know what power you're outputting. There is, even with all the technology, when you're running, an element of knowing what that
yes,
lower hard or real, very hard feels like.
Yep.
Because if the technology is not absolutely spot on every single time, there's got to be some other way, a backup measure to know what it should feel like.
Yeah, and that's actually the ultimate we want to get to, because there's in every race there is always someone whose technology fails. So if you can go into that race going, yep, I know how this feels, I can still do it without having to rely on the technology, that's where you really want to be.
Yep. And heart rates, apart from it lagging, there's other sort of external feature or things that will affect heart rate, like temperature and that kind of thing.
And how much caffeine you've had and many things. All right, so look, we've touched on the basics there, kind of when you get this device and you're getting it set up and starting to use it. We've said it's not perfect. So when you're actually using it, thinking about if you've got a watch on your wrist, the things that I think you should be looking for with it when you've got that on. So we'll just go through swim, bike, run very briefly. So swim, if you're in the open water, you basically want to know the distance that you've gone and how long you've been going for.
And are they a lot more accurate now?
Yes.
I've certainly done some swims that, and I'm not the straightest swimmer, but certainly wasn't as bad as some of the GPS information that came out.
No, every generation gets better and better in the water.
Yeah.
It's really simple. When you're in the open water, you're generally not doing any intervals or anything like that. You're so affected by how much chop or wind there is that your pace of what pace you're swimming really isn't relevant there. You just want to go, okay, how long have I gone for? Distance and time.
Yep.
Really, really simple.
Yep. The pool, now I know you can change, because Winterman was in a 33 and a third pool. A lot of 25-metre pools. If you're lucky enough to have access to a 50-metre, then well done you.
Yeah.
but you can change the length of the pool that you're swimming in.
Yeah, that's right.
And although 25 metres is not a long way, the GPS is smart enough to know.
Well, it doesn't do it off GPS once you're indoors. It's got an accelerometer in it. So what it recognises is when you reach the end of the pool and you change direction and accelerate again off the wall, that's how it recognises the end of a lap.
I'm just trying to comprehend me swimming and accelerate in my dreams. Okay, well, there you go. I've learned something today. I didn't know how it did it, to be perfectly honest, but now I do.
When you're in the pool, then what I think is really useful is your current lap. Remember that lap button? So if you press the lap button at the start, so say you're doing a set of 300 meter repeats, you press the lap button at the start and the end of them, then as you're swimming through, if you're like me and your brain stops working after you've been swimming for a little while, you can't remember how many lengths you've done, it's really easy to have a quick glance at your watch. Current lap, I've done 250 metres. I've got another 50 to go. Yeah.
And I think now some of the swimming we're doing with the squad, you're asking for different efforts.
Mm.
You know, 200 metres cruise, 200 metres solid, 200 metres best effort.
Yep.
And you, time is really the one way to tell the difference in those efforts.
Yeah, so that's perfect metric to have on your watch.
Yep.
So, yeah, how long did it take me on the last lap or last interval that I did?
Yeah.
So you can get to the wall, you hit the button, and then you can see, okay, that 300 took me X amount of time.
Yep.
Next time I do one, again, are my times staying consistent? Am I getting faster or slower according to the effort that should be going with the workout?
And it's interesting, you know, not everybody wears a watch in the pool.
No.
Me being one of them, I don't.
Yeah.
But I probably will start to. I've got one that I can use in the pool.
Well, I think one of the things is you don't need to use it all the time. It's really only when you're doing a set that you want to measure in some way.
Mm.
There's a lot of people who are familiar with reading the pace clock on the wall, and that's just as useful. It just requires a little bit more thinking and maths.
Yeah, you know, start on the white top.
Yeah.
If you're saying 300, I've got to know there or thereabouts what I can do 300
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
So if it's then pointing at the 15, is that 2 minutes 15? No, 3:15, 4:15. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the pool. That's in the water. Far more commonly seen. Being used on the bike and the run.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the bike and run are pretty similar, actually. There's, when you get these devices, normally they've got some kind of default on the front screen, which might be how long your ride is, how far you've been, what your top speed or average speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First thing, I hate average speed, okay, for running and riding, because you're going to have different terrain. You're going to have different road surfaces. You're going to have different weather. It's going to be different every single time. So speed means nothing in my world. What we want to know is how hard you're working. And so the numbers or the metrics that tell us that are?
Power. And if you haven't got power, heart rate.
Bingo.
Yep.
And pace for the run.
Yep.
So yeah, it's really how hard am I working is the number one thing that you want to know.
Yep. And I know I'm a bit of a guinea pig for you with the power, but the outdoor rides I've done, I actually don't have speed or distance visible. Eyesight's not my best attribute, so I've got the three fields showing, and the biggest one is that 10-second power.
Perfect.
And then I've got time of ride, just because you might have said go for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And the other one is heart rate, just because I'm a bit old school. I've used to use heart rate all the time, and I do like to keep an eye on it.
Absolutely. Really useful thing to have. The other one too is cadence.
Yeah, and I might drop heart rate for cadence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I could go to four screens, so it'd be get a bit squinty.
Yeah, the numbers get a bit small.
But I think sometimes it's making sure you've got fields that are relevant, informative, but also keep you motivated.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that, you know, whether it, if you want to see your speed because that excites you every now and then and you're going down a hill, just have current speed. Don't go for average speed, as you said, because that can do all sorts of things to your form and effort.
But you can have that on another screen. So you've got in front of you just the key things that you need to have a glance at every now and again throughout the workout.
Yep, and that's the other thing. The Garmin that I've got, a slightly older Garmin, you can flick through four screens.
Yep.
All of them could have four fields visible.
Yeah, that's right.
So I could have 16, and you can set it to scroll through the screens as well, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to spend... By the way, it's also important to look where you're going.
so true.
Not just at the Garmin, yeah.
So yeah, if you have on your main screen the key things that you need in that ride, basically how hard you're going, your cadence to keep an eye on that, because that's as you get tired, often the cadence drops. So seeing that is just a reminder, okay, lift up the cadence, because that helps you go a little bit faster.
Yeah, and some of the workouts, the scheduled workouts that we do, you do ask to go, you know, do it at 50 RPM, big gear.
Yep.
So, you know, knowing if you, depending what technology you have at your fingertips, knowing what you're at is important.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got it. And look, for the run, it's very, very similar again. How hard you're working, be that pace, heart rate, whichever one of those. Cadence comes with a lot of the watches now, so you can have that for running. A little bit less useful there. The other one, again, is how long you've been going on your current interval. So not every workout is an interval workout, but then you've got that lap counter, that lap time, just there in front of you, handy for when you need it.
Yep.
Maybe that's on a secondary screen, but yeah, those are really the key things. Like you talked about, Doug, if you want speed, if you want various other things, go for your life, but put them on another screen and just go to it occasionally when you need it. Don't distract yourself with that stuff.
Yeah. So with my mind for running, I've set it up different. I use one screen if I'm, say I've got a 90-minute steady run.
Perfect.
I've got time and heart rate, and that's it.
Yeah.
But if we're doing a Tuesday squad session, and I know you've dreamed up some crazy intervals for us, I have a different screen that allows me to use the lap button.
Yeah. Bang on.
So, yeah, just going back to the beginning, don't just rely on the default settings.
Mm.
You do need to personalise, and they all come with a multitude of options,
Yes.
Current this, average that, whatever, something else.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because if you see the field list of all the possible things you can display, it's ridiculous, and you have to get to know a bit of the terminology. Another good reason to go read the manual.
Yeah, and I have seen some of the fields and thought, why?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
Was that just so they could have another field? But it was, yeah.
And every new generation of the devices have that much more that they can do. But
yeah.
I've been using my old Garmin 910 for the last week because my previous one had to go back to the shop, get fixed up. And it still does exactly the same things. This device that I've got is 10 years old, but it still gives me exactly the same data as my new one does.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of useful stuff that comes and that you can see and you can use while you're training.
Yes.
You can use after to analyse. You will look at it for athletes that are under your tutelage. So, in summary, they're really out there for us to learn.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And when I say us, the athlete to learn when you're doing it, but also for you to learn about what we're doing and advise.
Yep. Bingo. And, so learn it, customise it so that you can get the most out of it. And if you are looking for a new device, go look up DC Rainmaker. He is the man when it comes to tech gadget reviews. Every device that you're likely to think about buying for the sport of triathlon, technology-wise, he's reviewed them. He's got the best information.
Yeah, and I think we did a session way back about technology and, you can throw all sorts of money at it. So beauty of the internet and particularly DC Rainmaker, honest, solid reviews.
Yeah.
So do, and ask other people because I'm sure, if you lined 30 of us up, that'd at least be sort of 20 different devices. But great technology, really useful.
And now that we've been through this, if anyone's got questions in the squad, please just come and tap on Doug's shoulder. You don't need to talk to me anymore.
Yeah, I know someone who knows. Thanks as always, Gerard.
Cheers, Doug. Cheers. Bye.